Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Brian Artis, host of the Dr. Artis Show. And this is a very special podcast, a very special presentation. And this is all about natural solutions, natural antidotes to lung diseases. Respiratory diseases is what we're talking about today. And you're going to learn about four specific vitamins that are known powerful antidotes to almost any lung health condition you can name. I'm also going to discuss and show you research. Exciting research about one specific mineral that's been able to help alleviate asthma, COPD symptoms, fibrosis issues, and improve those. And you're also going to learn about a heavy metal chelator, toxic chemical remover of the human body that is essential to improving lung health conditions that millions around the world are suffering with. So I'm going to actually show you a PowerPoint presentation. I'm going to walk you through it. I'm going to show you what conventional medicine defines as lung diseases. What are the most common types? This will actually probably ring true for many of you. You probably all have individuals in your life. If it isn't you, you most likely have people in your home, children in your classrooms, if you're a teacher of any kind, people at church, who suffer from asthma, RSV, reoccurring pneumonia, pulmonary fibrosis, even lung cancer. So all of those lung conditions we're going to discuss here and more, but I'm going to introduce you to some incredible nutrients that have been proven in research studies, randomized clinical trials around the world that have proven effective to improve all of these scenarios. So let's dive into the PowerPoint, follow along, share this interview, share this podcast and this presentation with everybody you know and love who you have concerns with, may have either current issues related to lung conditions or maybe in families of those who believe they're going to inherit these problems like their foreparents have. All right, so join me. And remember, at the resources tab at the Dr. Artis Show is the PowerPoint downloaded. You can download for free. It's converted into a PDF, just a single document you can download and share this entire PowerPoint I'm about to show you to help build confidence in you and your loved ones that they too can take simple steps to improve their overall lung function, which leads to more oxygen in their blood, which leads to more energy in their body and more life, vitality, endurance, and longevity. So let's dive in to all things natural solutions and lung diseases. All right, here we go. Scan the QR code. This will allow you to put in your email to be notified of our next upcoming presentations. I do a once a week podcast where I dive through a health condition, a named condition or symptoms, and I walk you through what the conventional medical narrative is and education and knowledge is in that field, what their proposed solutions are. It's typically prescription drugs, vaccines, or surgeries, and I walk you through what is known about those recommendations, what's the most alarming side effects of those recommendations that can create permanent lifelong problems or even death and disability. So to stay abreast, just scan that QR code and join us. All right, so let me just make this bigger for myself so it's easier for me to see. All right, this is the American Lung Association. Why we're talking about lung health here in November of 2025 is when this is being recorded. Why are we talking about that? Because as you can see, the American Lung Association has announced that November is COPD Awareness Month. And this month is dedicated, they say, to raising awareness about chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, a leading cause of death and disability in the United States. And you can help. Do you want to know how they say you can help? You can donate money over here. Well, let me just tell you something. They've never cured COPD. The American Lung Association has not come up with any preventable other than lung transplants, which is not a cure, by the way. And so if you're going to donate anything, why don't you donate to the Dr. Artis Show? That would be great. We'll come up with ways to productively teach you and educate you how you actually use natural solutions the medical profession doesn't even know about, hasn't read into, and share this podcast with them so they can start to understand and learn. Why else are we talking about lung health this month? Because the American Association for Cancer Research wants you to know that November is not just COPD Awareness Month, it's also Lung Cancer Awareness Month. So before I allowed November to go by in 2025 and every November here going forward and into the future, before they start telling you everything they want you to know about the lung conditions, lung cancer, and COPD, I decided you should know what the alternative health and the medical research groups have already determined is true about these conditions, because these groups are not going to tell you. Also, I'm just going to throw this one in there. This is not related to November, but 2 months ago was September. Did you know that every September of every year is Pulmonary Fibrosis Month? And I'm going to walk you through research studies here of how pulmonary fibrosis alone can be improved, prevented, and it can be slightly reversed or improved overall with just some very basic nutrients. You're going to learn about them here in this presentation. So anybody out there that you know dealing with asthma, COPD, lung cancer concerns, or pulmonary fibrosis, pneumonia, this is for you. All right. The Cleveland Clinic defines lung disease as a general term for health conditions that affect your airways of lung tissues. These examples are some I already threw out there. They include asthma, COPD, pulmonary fibrosis, pneumonia, and lung cancer. Lung disease can cause symptoms like shortness of breath and chronic cough. What is lung disease? Common lung diseases include asthma, like they mentioned, COPD, cardiovascular diseases that affect your lungs, like pulmonary hypertension. Pulmonary means lungs. So high blood pressure due to lung problems, and pulmonary embolism. Embolism is a blood clot, are also sometimes considered lung diseases. The Cleveland Clinic says most lung diseases are long-term, meaning chronic. You may be born with one, like cystic fibrosis, or you might develop one later in life, like COPD. And a few lung diseases, like infections, are short-term and can be cured, like COVID and pneumonia and, you know, the other ones. Types of lung conditions, according to the Cleveland Clinic, some of these you know, some have already been mentioned. Asthma is a condition that causes inflammation and narrows your airways. Bronchiectasis is a condition where your airways widen and form pouches. COPD, including emphysema, airway damage that makes it hard to breathe. Cystic fibrosis, a pancreatic disease that affects your lungs. Infections like pneumonia and tuberculosis. Pulmonary fibrosis and other types of interstitial, meaning inside, the lung disease, conditions that damage your lung tissues and get worse over time. Lung cancers like non-small cell lung cancer and small cell lung cancer and mesothelioma. And then there's lymphangioleiomyomatosis. Yeah, say that 10 times fast. We'll just call it by the acronym LAM, L-A-M. It's a disease that causes cysts in your lungs. What are some of the causes? Cleveland Clinic says, definitely smoking. Then they say germs like viruses, bacteria, and fungi. And I would like to remind y'all that viruses, the actual true definition of the word virus, is Latin. And in history, it's only meant poison or venom. So that's not really a germ. That is inaccurate. Connective tissue and inflammatory diseases like rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, scleroderma, and sarcoidosis, they say, can cause lung disease. I need to stop there. If you look up the drugs for rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, scleroderma, and sarcoidosis, you will see that lung conditions are the published side effect of the chemicals, poisons, they call prescription drugs, for each of those conditions. If you look up the prescription drugs being prescribed to everybody with any of those four conditions, look in the pulmonary section of the side effects sections of the physician's desk reference, or go to drugs.com and look up the drug that is being prescribed for any of the four of those. The conditions do not. Rheumatoid arthritis does not cause lung disease. Lupus does not cause lung disease. Scleroderma does not cause lung disease. Sarcoidosis might. But for each of those, the drugs they do tell you to live on the rest of your life cause lung disease of every form I just showed you. Inhaling harmful substances like asbestos and radon, or corticosteroids, by the way, will do it, like bronchodilators. Allergic reactions to something you inhale called hypersensitivity pneumonitis. And then I highlighted this one with an arrow. Certain medications or treatments. Oh, there's a bunch of chemicals called prescription medications that are known to cause lung diseases by themselves. And then they tell you there's genetic changes, either that you were born with or that you acquire as you get older. You don't acquire genetics, by the way. You only get them at conception. Unless you're altering your genetics with genetically modified material inside of vaccines. All right, what are some of the treatments for lung diseases? We're going to highlight a few on the screen. You see that are underlined. We'll just focus on those. Corticosteroids are a treatment. Drugs like prednisone can help reduce inflammation in your airways. Inhaled medications like bronchodilators and inhaled steroids can reduce inflammation and open your airways. Antifibrotic and cytotoxic drugs. Cyto means cell, toxic drugs. Medications that can slow down lung scarring caused by certain types of lung disease. Then there's biologic drugs, medications like rifuximab, a monoclonal antibody, are sometimes used to treat autoimmune diseases and other causes of lung diseases. These are the treatments for lung diseases, they say. You'll see there's other lists there. There's some other ones. You can stop smoking. It's a treatment for lung condition. Oxygen therapy, always a good one for the lungs. Positive airway pressure, pulmonary rehab, learning how to breathe again. Yeah, those are all good. All right, here's the health policy partnership. Lung health now and a global call to action. There must be a lot of lung problems. Can't have anything to do with those chemtrails in the air that we're all breathing and being poisoned by. The global impact of lung ill health. Diseases of the lungs include communicable diseases. Tuberculosis, for example. Communicable meaning they can be shared. They're infectious. You know, they travel around. Then there's non-communicable diseases. NCDs, which include chronic respiratory diseases such as COPD. You don't spread COPD to other people. You don't catch it from other people. Asthma, you don't spread that. Bronchiectasis, you don't do that either. Occupational lung diseases, unless there's other coworkers that are getting it on their own, you're not sharing those either. And then high blood pressure from the lungs, pulmonary hypertension. And lung cancer, their collective burden is huge, so they say. In 2021, lung conditions caused almost 17 million deaths globally. Well, that's not hard to fathom. You need your lungs to draw in air to live. So if there's reduced air, yeah, I bet it is responsible for a lot of deaths. Even just looking at CRDs, what they call chronic respiratory diseases, together they affect almost 470 million people. And caused almost 4.5 million deaths in 2021. And globally, of all cancers, lung cancer has both the highest incidence rate and the highest death rate. You know what's amazing about that? Suppose there's less people smoking in the world than ever before. So why is this continuing to climb? It ain't just smoking people. There are more drugs being prescribed to anybody in the whole world. And maybe that's a problem. We'll see. All right, so for the prescription medications we just highlighted that are often prescribed as the only treatment for your lung health problems, which, by the way, the revenue from the drugs for lung health diseases are what funds the American Lung Association and the other research institute I just showed you. This is where they get their money, is from the drugs sold for these conditions. Let's look at prednisone. This is prednisone on the screen, the number one prescribed drug for lung diseases. Its brand names are Rheos, Steripred, and Deltazone. But prednisone is what most people know it as. What is prednisone? Look at the bottom. This is from drugs.com. It's a corticosteroid medicine used to decrease inflammation and keep your immune system in check. It actually suppresses your immune system if it is overactive. Prednisone is used to treat allergic disorders. Let's talk about this. Prednisone is used to keep your immune system in check if it's overactive. You will be told by the medical profession that if your child has a fever, your immune system is overactive. Therefore, you need steroids like prednisone, or you need non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like Tylenol, Motrin, ibuprofen to suppress the immune system. It's not because the immune system is overactive. It's doing its job, but it doesn't feel good. You're experiencing heat, sweats, shakes, chills, you name it. So they use drugs to shut off your immune system, even when it's acting normally. Prednisone is used to treat allergic reactions, asthma, chronic COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Now, when we dive into these side effects of prednisone, the majority of them I want you guys to recognize are going to be under the title frequency not reported. So according to drugs.com, they tell you what this designation means for every prescription drug. If a side effect has the words frequency not reported, then this means that neither the product information, the package insert, nor clinical trials have specified exactly how many people have experienced this side effect for this particular medicine. Sometimes side effects are not reported until after a drug goes to market. When this happens, there is no way to know how many people have experienced this side effect reliably. So when you see frequency not reported, which I'm about to show you a whole bunch of these, this means the drug has passed FDA approval review process. The clinical trials on humans are over, and now millions of people are taking the drug being prescribed by their medical doctor. And as more people are taking it, these side effects of taking prednisone consistently are being reported to both the FDA and to the drug manufacturer and to the medical doctors who prescribed it to their patients who now have these problems. But because data, which is given to drugs.com and to the physician's desk reference and the FDA, because the data, the percentages of people that have these problems, this information wasn't collected during the trial when the data had to be collected and then submitted for review, because these side effects you're about to see listed were outside the clinical trial period. We don't know what the percentages of people are that get them, but we know this is happening to a whole bunch of people who are on this drug now after it went to market. All right, so here we go. Let's dive into some of these fun ones. All of you out there who knows anybody on prednisone for any reason, even though this is lung health, is what we're talking about today. Prednisone is the number one drug prescribed for all lung conditions. So this is under the side effects section titled metabolic. How does this affect your overall body? All right, so I want to focus on a few of these here, and I'm not going to underline them. Just follow along. You will see prednisone causes decreased blood sugar and carbohydrate tolerance. It can increase the need for insulin in diabetics. So if you're a diabetic and you're on prednisone and you're wondering why your blood sugar is staying high, prednisone causes glucose to go up higher than normal. Notice it says first several words, frequency not reported, reads decreased carbohydrate and blood sugar called glucose tolerance. You're not able to clear it, not able to break it down, and your blood sugar continues to spike. Diabetics, be warned, prednisone raises blood sugar and your insulin requirements. Look at the next one, lipid abnormal. What are lipids? They're talking about cholesterol. So you're going to see abnormal cholesterol readings when you start taking prednisone. So abnormal would be high triglycerides, high total cholesterol, high LDL. And once you're on prednisone and this starts going up, your cholesterol levels, you're going to be told this is a genetic predisposition. It has nothing to do with the prednisone you're on. And you're going to be put on a new drug, not just prednisone anymore. You're now going to be prescribed a statin drug to counteract what prednisone is doing to your cholesterol levels. Negative nitrogen balance caused by protein catabolism, hypokalemia, hypokalemic alkalosis. This is all related to calcium. Metabolic alkalosis, potassium loss, so dehydration. Sodium retention and resulting edema. How many of you knew that once you go on prednisone, your medical doctors often will tell you to avoid sodium or salt? But if you're on prednisone and you start noticing your ankles are swelling, your legs are swelling, your face is puffy, read. Many people once taking prednisone and it went to market report sodium retention with resulting edema. Notice those on prednisone also report increased appetite and weight gain. This is extremely common with prednisone. So for all of you out there that want to stay thin, prednisone is not the answer. For some, you'll see anorexia and weight loss. Not sure anybody's going for that either. And then you'll see hypertriglyceridemia and hypercholesterolemia. All right, I want to focus on it. This is high cholesterol and high triglycerides. If your medical doctor sees this on your blood report after putting you on prednisone, they're going to prescribe the next drug. And you were never told that the prednisone you were prescribed for your lung disease, your asthma, your corticosteroid inhaler, you were never told that prednisone is doing this inside of you. The answer is not statin drugs, by the way. Let's go to cardiovascular. So when it comes to the heart, prednisone, look at this. Bradycardia is caused by prednisone. cardiac arrest. That is a heart attack, people. The heart stopped beating. You die. Did you know prednisone causes cardiac arrest? The fact that it's even reported here to the FDA and to drugs.com and the physician's desk reference means after this prednisone went to market, medical doctors prescribed it and people died from taking prednisone. They took the pill, popped in their mouth, and then their heart stopped working. Cardiac arrhythmias, cardiac enlargement, circulatory collapse, and congestive heart failure. Every single one of those, by the way, all of you on prednisone who are now being recommended and referred to a cardiologist for any heart arrhythmias or issues, you will be told that your heart problem is genetic. You will not be given any other reason. It is not genetic. It is called the effects of poisons. And prednisone, in this scenario, is the poison. Look at this. Prednisone causes bradycardia, heart stoppage called cardiac arrest, heart attack, cardiac arrhythmias. So think afibrillation, atrial fibrillation, arrhythmias, tachycardia, cardiac enlargement. That's called cardiomegaly. That's congestive heart failure. The heart's getting bigger. They're going to tell you this is inherited. You didn't inherit nothing. You were a sucker for a prescription poisoning, unfortunately. Circulatory collapse. Oh my God, can you even imagine what that looks like? Wait, blood can't move throughout the body anymore? What do you think is going to happen to you? And then congestive heart failure. Did you know that was a side effect of prednisone, the most prescribed drug for lung diseases? If you go down even further, you will see things like edema, hypotension, myocardial rupture, that is heart muscle ripping open. Recent myocardial infarction, that's a heart attack. Cardiomyopathy in premature infants. Jeez. Heart disease in infants. Yeah, that's great. Thanks, prednisone. Thromboembolism, a blood clot in your brain. Thanks. Yeah, that sounds like a winner. Tachycardia, syncope, changes in your heart rhythm, chest pain, angitis, vasculitis, thrombophlebitis. These are all blood clot disorders. Oh, what about prednisone for lung health diseases? Did you know it causes eye problems? Did you know cataracts are caused by prednisone? Look, it's the second thing on there. All you old people developing cataracts told this is a normal process of aging. How many of you were on prednisone prior to your cataracts and your whites in the lenses of your eyeballs clouding over? How many of you were told this is just a normal process of aging? Or you inherited this and you've been swallowing prednisone for the previous 5 to 10 years. What about blurry vision? How many of you are wearing prism sunglasses or prism glasses and sunglasses for vision? How many of you have double vision now and had no idea that was caused by prednisone you were taking for anything? Rheumatoid arthritis included. I want you to notice something. You'll see prednisone also causes secondarily, when you're swallowing prednisone, which is an immune suppressant, shuts off your immune system, they tell you, you can experience secondarily bacterial infections, fungal infections, viral infections. Glaucoma is caused by prednisone. What? Did you know glaucoma is not a normal process of aging? Ask your doctor if glaucoma, blindness, heart attacks, heart cardiac arrest is right for you when they prescribe prednisone. What about endocrine? So endocrine is a hormone. So how are the hormones affected by prednisone alone? I'm not going to read all of these. I just need you guys to be aware these are here. All right. So in the endocrine, though, I want to focus on something. Go just to the middle of that paragraph. You're going to see hyperthyroidism, which is called Graves' disease with an autoimmune disease. Hyperthyroidism means your thyroid's overstimulating the production of hormones. Hypothyroidism is low-functioning thyroid. And you'll notice moon face is right after that. Okay, these are side effects of prednisone. How many people do you know have asthma, were put on an inhaler their whole life since childhood, and then in their teenage years and adult years are diagnosed with a thyroid condition, or even younger? Told they have hyperthyroidism, hypothyroidism, and it's genetic. They're going to be told it's genetic. No, it isn't. It's caused by steroids called prednisone. Did you know it causes these conditions? What's going to be the solution? Your medical doctor is going to tell you now that your thyroid's jacked up. What are they going to do? They're going to tell you you're now levothyroxine, which causes all forms of cancer, or Synthroid deficient. That's what they're going to tell you. You need another prescription. And it's genetic. It isn't genetic. You have been poisoned. This is what happens. Right after Moonface in that paragraph, read adrenocortical, that is the cortical steroids produced by your adrenal glands, and pituitary gland, the master hormone gland, unresponsiveness. Wait, what? Prednisone shuts off the master hormone gland's control of all hormones in your body? The pituitary tells your thyroid, adrenals, ovaries, pancreas, testes what to do. Can you foresee a problem there? Oh, prednisone. Did you know this? Look at the last statement. You see increased or decreased motility and number of sperm. Infertility, anybody? All young people on asthma inhalers and prednisone for anything. Just know your infertility issues might be coming from that. GI symptoms. Prednisone absolutely causes constipation most often in people I've ever seen, diarrhea, abdominal distension, pancreatitis, that is horrible pain, peptic ulcers. You're told it's GERD. You're told it's genetic, inherited. One of my favorite ones, look at this, peptic ulcer with possible perforation, that is ripping a hole in your stomach and your intestines, and hemorrhage. Oh my God, internal bleeding is caused by prednisone. Did you know that? Perforation of the small and large intestine. Holy crap. Have you heard of leaky gut syndrome? This is worse. Perforation. The intestines just ripped open. And now all the contents inside your intestines are now inside your abdominal cavity. That is a known published side effect of prednisone. You know what they're going to say you have? Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis. That's what they're going to blame it on. And they're going to tell you this is an autoimmune disease that is inherited. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. You had your intestine shredded by a poison called prednisone. Ulcerative esophagitis, which later becomes Barrett's esophagus, which later becomes esophageal cancer, which is deadly in like 100% of all people. Did you know that's caused by prednisone? I think most people know prednisone can cause vomiting. It's there. What about musculoskeletal stuff? Look at the musculoskeletal. Osteopenia, osteoporosis is caused by prednisone. How many old people are having DEXA scans for the density of their bones and had no idea the 30 years they've been on prednisone for their arthritis complaints is what's causing their bone loss? Guess what you were told? It's a side effect of normal aging and sedentary lifestyle. Nope. No. They know prednisone does that. It is published to do that. Muscle weakness, loss of muscle mass, increased risk of fracture. Oh, she fell and broke her hip. No, your hip broke and you fell. That's why you fell. That's the majority of people. It's not that they fall and break their hip. It's typically the femoral neck of their long bone in their leg attached to their hip breaks while standing and they fell. And it looks like, because they took an x-ray after they fell, the fall broke their hip. Nope, it's usually it broke first. Prednisone does that. Look at that. Tendon ruptures, particularly the Achilles tendon. Wonderful. How many athletes know that prednisone causes tendons to rupture? Vertebral compression fractures. How many old people are having cement put into their spine, being told this is normal aging? It's not normal aging. It's the effects of poisons called prednisone. Suppression of growth in pediatric patients. If you have a child with asthma or has been diagnosed with a lung disease or has been put on any steroid, it suppresses, the drug does, the growth of your children. So unless you want little kids, little short kids, you might want to know that about prednisone. Not that it can't be used short term. I'm telling you, this is you use prednisone for any length of time. This is the side effects. What about your nervous system? Benign intracranial hypertension. This is increased pressure in your brain. Convulsions, dementia is called by prednisone. Okay, everybody out there, please pay attention to me. How many of you in assisted living homes, nursing living homes, senior citizens of any age on Medicare right now, how many of you are experiencing dementia after having started prednisone and are still on prednisone? And how many of you can honestly look at yourself in the mirror and look at your medical records and acknowledge that before your dementia started, any degree of dementia and memory loss, how many of you can honestly take a look at your life and say, and ask yourself, did I start taking prednisone before I started experiencing dementia? And then how many of you, with that perspective, now can think back to any neurological or general practitioner, neurosurgeon, neurologist you went to discuss your memory loss? How many of you were told your dementia was related to age or genetics? Did you know prednisone causes dementia and it's published to do that? Do you see the words increased motor activity? Do you know what that looks like? I'll show you. Do you know what they call that? Parkinson's. How many people are experiencing increased motor activity? Increased motor. How many people were diagnosed with Parkinson's symptoms? Early onset Parkinson's, early onset dementia for Alzheimer's. How many of them have been diagnosed with those and you were put on prednisone for any length of time prior to those symptoms starting and were told it was genetic, you inherited it? No, you didn't. Stop poisoning yourself. Impaired cognition, increased intracranial pressure with eye swelling, increased motor activity, severe tiredness or weakness, meningitis, neuritis, which is nerve pain, neuropathy. How many senior citizens and those on Medicare have to suffer with nerve pain without ever being told by their prescribing medical doctor that the prednisone they put them on for their so-called age-related disorder or genetically inherited disorder, how many of you are suffering with nerve pain caused by prednisone you're swallowing and voluntarily picking up and paying with your Medicare copay every month and every day? Do you see paraplegia? How many of you know that parts of your body can be paralyzed by prednisone? We haven't even gotten to the psychiatric stuff. Long-term memory loss? The Notebook, anybody? That's Alzheimer's. Both short-term and long-term, it's all gone. You can't remember anything. Mania, mood swings from prednisone. Personality changes. Psychiatric disorders are caused by prednisone, including steroid psychosis or aggravation of pre-existing psychiatric conditions. Restlessness. Look at the next word. Did you know schizophrenia is a published side effect of swallowing prednisone or inhaling it? What do they say about schizophrenia? It's genetic. It's passed down one generation to another. That is 100% what the psychiatric associations say and the mental institutions say. Prednisone, everybody, you're hearing it here first, causes schizophrenia. Now, what is schizophrenia? Two things are really clearly defining of schizophrenia. In case you're wondering if you're bipolar, if you're wondering if you're just seasonally sad, seasonal affective disorder. Schizophrenia has two primary things: hallucinations, seeing things that aren't there, and delusions. This is where people are out to ruin your life who aren't really trying to ruin your life. You're worried that people are stealing money out of your bank account. They're not really doing that. The government's out to get you. Nope, that's not what that is. Prednisone causes schizophrenia. You'll see up at the top, it causes delirium, anxiety, depression. Now imagine going on prednisone for your joint pain, and then you become depressed. You report the next 6 months later after you do your follow-up with your medical doctor, he's going to be like, oh, you're depressed? I'm really sorry. Let's write you an antidepressant like Prozac, Zoloft. I hope you're getting this. This is a very commonly prescribed chemical, which has a lot of blessings to a lot of people with pain. I'm not dismissing that. And it has its uses at times, only in emergency situations, in my opinion. If you stay on these things, they are known to do all of this and have been reported to the FDA to do this, to the medical doctors of those who prescribed it to their patients, and they know this. It's being reported. Verbal memory loss. Interesting. Withdrawn behavior. I don't know what happened to grandma and grandpa. They just became a recluse. Oh, yeah. Are they on prednisone? And how long have they done it? they don't want to go out anymore. They don't want to socialize anymore. They just are antisocial now. Wow, that's weird. Did you know prednisone does that? I personally know people who all of a sudden stopped engaging in activities that they enjoyed. I even know people that were learning how to fly airplanes who all of a sudden became super reclusive and didn't want to leave the house ever, even though they looked forward to this every week. This would be an example of withdrawn behavior. I wonder if those individuals were on prednisone. Amazing. Hematological. Anemia, neutropenia. I'm not going to read all those. That's blood related. Dermatological. Look at the list. Allergic dermatitis, acne. Okay, if you developed acne after being on prednisone, this is a big, big problem, by the way. You're going to be prescribed all kinds of steroids and antibiotics for acne. So prednisone allows the medical physician to continue to prescribe you more drugs to handle the side effects of the other drug they already prescribed you. Facial edema. Who doesn't want that? Who doesn't want their face to swell up? Okay, all of you that get Botox to try to get rid of your wrinkles, if you notice, you know, bigger people, obese people, they don't have a lot of wrinkles. They're all swollen. If you want to swell up your face to make your wrinkles go away, maybe this is an anti-aging effort by you. Get on prednisone. Maybe prednisone will swell your face up and help you look younger. Impaired wound healing. Who doesn't want that? Everybody wants to heal slower so they can miss work longer. Increased sweating. We know the power of sweating and the detoxing methods. I'm not sure everybody wants to sweat 24/7. Lupus-like lesions is a side effect of prednisone. That doesn't sound better than whatever reason they're giving you prednisone. Let's say lung health. Let's say you have asthma or COPD and they give you prednisone. Do you really think lupus-like lesions is better to throw on top of it? Not so sure. Fragile skin, thinning scalp hair. Okay, great. Hepatic is liver dysfunction. They're telling you, you can see hepatomegaly enlargement of the liver. So not just a beer belly with a liver that's been inflamed because of a lot of beer. Prednisone does the same thing. Makes you look like you have a beer belly. So that was prednisone. Some of my highlights of prednisone. The most common prescribed drug for all lung diseases. All right. I didn't want to spend a whole lot of time there, but I had to show you that stuff and give you that perspective because prednisone is taken by tens of millions of people in America every single day, including infants and children, particularly those with breathing problems. Trelegy, Ellipta. This is the next set of drugs prescribed for lung diseases. You'll see that's a drug class of bronchodilators, things you inhale. Trelegy. Ellipta is used to treat COPD, including bronchitis and emphysema, and is also used for asthma in adults as a maintenance treatment. Trelegy Ellipta is used daily to improve symptoms and prevent bronchospasm in adults with COPD. And for adults with asthma, it is used daily to prevent and control symptoms of asthma. This is what it looks like. See it on screen. Let's go through some of its amazing side effects published on drugs.com. Number one with a star next to it. Listen, everybody. Trelegy, the inhaler for lung conditions called COPD and asthma and emphysema. This medicine should not be used if you're having an asthma or a COPD attack. Wait, what? I thought this was for COPD. Hold up. The drug we prescribed to you for asthma and COPD, don't take it if you're having an asthma attack or a COPD breathing issue. Or if symptoms of an asthma or COPD attack has already started. Wait, does that make sense to you? Okay. If it does, explain it to me. This medicine, let's look at number two star. This medicine may increase the chance of asthma-related problems. Whoa, 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 whoa. Okay. This drug is prescribed to adults with asthma for asthma. You inhale it. But it says this may increase the chance of asthma-related problems. Well, what are the problems related to asthma? You can't breathe and you might pass out and die? Okay. Just so you know, Trelegy, prescribed for COPD and allergies and asthma, can cause asthma-related problems. Ask your doctor if more asthma-related problems are right for you when you're struggling to breathe with asthma. Number three star, this medicine may increase the risk of worsening asthma, which may lead to hospitalization, intubation, and death in patients with asthma. What the actual... Wait, let's go back. I got to go back. Hold on. According to drugs.com, Trelegy at the bottom is used to treat COPD including bronchitis and emphysema, and is also used for asthma in adults as a maintenance treatment. Trelegy, that can be used for asthma maintenance treatment, may increase the risk of worsening asthma, which may lead to hospitalization, intubation, and death in patients with asthma. Ask your doctor if hospitalization, intubation, and death are right for you when prescribed Trelegy for asthma. Let's read the next one. I didn't star. This medicine may weaken your immune system and increase your risk for infections. It's definitely going to do that. It suppresses your immune system. Let's look at the last one. This medicine may cause a fungal infection of the mouth or throat called thrush. All right, everybody out there, all your little kids going off to daycares, elementary schools, play dates, MOPS groups, if they're on a bronchodilator, an inhaler for asthma, and then you're told your child has thrush, and you were told they got it at daycare. No. The drug, Trelegy, which is a bronchodilator, causes thrush. Not other people. Just inhaling the drug they told you to. All right, this medicine may cause paradoxical bronchial spasms. Your breathing or wheezing will get worse, and this may be life-threatening. Thank you, Trelegy. Ask your doctor if worse wheezing, worse breathing, and possible life-threatening breathing problems are right for you when they prescribe you or your child Trelegy. Using too much of this medicine or using it for a long time may cause increased risk of having adrenal gland problems. Chronic fatigue, anybody? Belly fat, cortisol. This medicine may cause serious allergic reactions, including anaphylaxis and angioedema. Angioedema is swelling of your eyes, nose, mouth, ears, and genitals, which can be life-threatening and require immediate medical attention. How many times do I have to tell you and show you that this drug has life-threatening side effects before you go, maybe I try something less life-threatening for me and my kid? I thought lung problems, the whole worry was you can't breathe and you feel like you might die. Why would you want to take drugs that knowingly your medical doctor should know increase the likelihood of life-threatening situations that you went in scared of in the first place? This medicine may increase your risk of heart and blood vessel problems, including changes in your heart rhythm. Oh, wait, I thought tachycardia, bradycardia, and AFib were all genetic disorders. No, they're not. They are poison side effects. Let's look at the last one. This medicine, Trelegy, may decrease bone mineral density when used for a long time. A low bone mineral density can cause weak bones or osteoporosis and fractures. Ask your doctor if fractures and weak bones are right for you when they recommend Trelegy for your lung health problem or any other problem. Rituximab. This is, there's some brand names to this. They're highlighted there. Rituxan. Riabni, that sounds weird. Riabni, Ruxience, and Truxima. I don't say those very often. All right. What is rituximab? A monoclonal antibody is what MAB stands for, which, by the way, monoclonal antibodies are what is used as antivenom to snake bites, which I find amazing. And in America, they will combine a bunch of monoclonal antibodies and call them polyclonal antibodies, and that is antivenom from multiple snakes put in one vial. In case they don't know what snake you got bit by, if it wasn't rattlesnake, coral snake, black snake, doesn't know. If they don't know what it is, or cobra, whatever, they'll give you polyclonal, not just monoclonal antibodies. Poly means many, and they'll just hope one of those was the one you got. That's what a monoclonal antibody is. Okay. They use these in lung health problems. Rituximab infusion is used to treat certain leukemias and lymphomas and some non-cancer conditions such as rheumatoid arthritis, polyangiitis, pyrophagus vulgaris, depending on the brand. So let's keep going. That's what it looks like. All right. What you need to know about this intravenous drug they inject you with for lung health problems. Fatal infusion-related reactions may occur within 24 hours of injecting this drug. Doc, I can't breathe. We're going to send you to the hospital and we're going to give you intravenous rituximab. Did they tell you that fatal infusion-related reactions can occur within 24 hours of taking the drug? Approximately 80% of fatal reactions occurred with the very first drug injection of rituximab. Ask your doctor if fatal injections are right for you. And just so you're wondering, if you don't know what I'm talking about here, you know that there's some states that still have legalized lethal injections right on death row. They're telling you when you inject this drug, 80% of the fatal cases occur when the first bit of this drug is injected into their veins. I think it's important that you know that. Severe and potentially fatal mucocutaneous reactions can occur. And this looks like white fungus all over your tongue, on your nails. It's just like the whole end of your fingers are clubbed white with this weird rash. That's what mucocutaneous reactions are. But listen to what they said. Severe and potentially fatal rashes and infections like this can occur from this drug. For those of you who have ever had hepatitis B, you can get reactivation of hepatitis B from this drug. And in some cases, it results in fulminant hepatitis, hepatic failure, or death. These are the FDA-approved drugs for lung problems. All right, look at the bottom. I'm not done. Progressive multifocal leukoencephalopathy, swelling in the brain, PML. And death can also occur from rituximab for lung health problems. I'm having a hard time breathing, Doc. We should admit you to the hospital and give you injections of rituximab. My head hurts now, Doc. Oh, I guess we need to run a CT scan on your brain. We need to do a puncture of your cerebral spinal fluid in your spinal column. Do a spinal tap and see if the pressure is higher. In your brain. Oh, it is higher. Oh, crap. It's at deathly fatal levels. And then you die. From a drug that is published to cause death. Here's some other side effects of rituximab for lung health problems. It can cause infusion-related deaths, which we just talked about. This medicine causes hepatitis B infection to come back, serious skin and mouth reactions, Stevens-Johnson syndrome, lichenoid dermatitis, other dermatitises, necrolysis, toxic epidermal necrolysis. This is death of the skin on the outside of your butt. Like flesh-eating diseases. Yeah, that's what that looks like. This medicine may also cause a serious type of reactions called tumor lysis syndrome. Well, thanks. That sounds great. This medicine may cause a rare and serious side effect of progressive multifocal leukoencephalopathy. This is the swelling in your brain, and it can get worse, and you can die. The risk of getting this infection is even higher if you have rheumatoid arthritis. You want to know why? You're on prednisone as a result. It suppresses your immune system. So, of course, these infections are going to be higher in those on prednisone. But notice they blame it on those with rheumatoid arthritis. No, the people on rheumatoid arthritis are given the same drugs. You're about to see another one. It's prednisone, methotrexate. I'm about to show you methotrexate. They give it to a whole bunch of lung health problems. This medicine may increase your risk of developing infections, viral, bacterial, and fungal during or after treatment with this drug, rituximab. This medicine may cause heart and heart arrhythmia problems, particularly heart attacks. Oh, God. Arrhythmias, cardiogenic shock. Yep. And you'll see down there what they describe it could be, what it looks like. Pain or discomfort in your arms, jaw, neck, dizziness, fainting, fast, slow, irregular heartbeat, cool, sweaty skin, or trouble breathing. This medicine may cause serious stomach and bowel problems. Just thought you should know. I just mentioned methotrexate, and we're there now. Let's look at methotrexate. This is actually chemotherapy. This is many lung health problem. People are put on methotrexate. All right, so brand names, Trexol, Zatmep, and Jilemvo. Jilemvo. There's only one thing I like about all those names. I think I can spell all those names on a Scrabble board. There's either seven or less letters. Yeah, that's how many tiles you get in Scrabble. So how they come up with these words is amazing. But now you got some new Scrabble words. There you go. What is methotrexate? It interferes with the growth of certain cells of the body, especially cells that reproduce quickly, such as cancer cells, bone marrow cells. Ugh. You ever heard of bone marrow transplants because you don't have bone marrow cells? Guess what kills it? Methotrexate does. And skin cells. Oh, great. Thanks. Methotrexate is used to treat leukemia and certain types of cancers. You'll see the list there. lung included. There's methotrexate. Oral route. This is the black box warning from the FDA. Severe toxic reactions, including embryo fetal toxicity. Methotrexate can cause severe or fatal toxicities. Your baby dies in the womb. Stillbirth. Methotrexate can cause embryo fetal toxicity and fetal death. All right. Well, if this kills babies in utero, what do you think it does to you? All right, let's run through some highlights. Other published side effects from drugs.com about methotrexate that I think you should know for those of you with lung health problems before I get into the natural solutions, which are next. And by the way, none of the natural solutions I'm about to throw at you, 4 vitamins, 1 mineral, 1 nutrient, and 1 heavy metal detoxer. Let's go through the ugly side of methotrexate. Methotrexate may cause serious allergic reactions, including anaphylaxis, which may be life-threatening and require immediate attention. Life-threatening. Methotrexate can lower the number of white blood cells in your blood, which means you now have lowered immunity, which increases the chance of getting an infection. It can also lower the number of platelets that you have, which are necessary for proper blood clotting. If this happens, there are certain precautions you can take. This medicine may cause stomach and bowel problems. Methotrexate can cause serious skin reactions, just like the last drug we showed you. A serious kidney problem can occur from this drug, methotrexate. This medicine may cause serious nervous system problems, like pain, confusion, seizures, numbness into your hands, feet, or lips, trouble seeing, or headache. Those are neurological problems caused by methotrexate. This medicine may increase your risk of other cancers, including blood or skin cancer. Did you know that? Did you know this chemotherapy drug called methotrexate can actually increase your risk of getting other cancers? How many of you have rheumatoid arthritis or lupus and are on methotrexate and then later were diagnosed with a specific cancer? Like multiple myeloma, leukemia, basal cell carcinoma, skin cancer, melanomas. You can thank methotrexate for that. Ask your doctor if skin cancer and other cancers are right for you when they prescribe methotrexate. This medicine may cause a serious reaction called tumor lysis syndrome. All right, that's methotrexate. Enough of that. I don't know if y'all saw enough death, life-threatening diseases, symptoms known and published about the FDA-approved drugs for health problems during November, the Lung Health Awareness Month. It's time to dive into what I recommend for lung health. All right, I told you there's going to be 4 vitamins. We're going to start with vitamin A. This is from the Annals of Clinical and Laboratory Science in 2007. Antioxidant vitamin supplementation in asthma. All of you out there who has any baby, child, adult, yourself, your coworkers, your colleagues, your grandparents, whoever, who has an inhaler for asthma, been diagnosed with asthma, this is for you. You're welcome. All right. Many studies have reported increased indices of oxidative stress in the blood and airways of asthma sufferers. Low total intake of vitamins A, vitamin C, and vitamin E was associated with deficits in the various measurements they take in hospital settings and medical clinics to evaluate lung function. And those are spirometric parameters, which include FVC, meaning forced vital capacity. Please don't memorize this, but you've all seen this for those of you with asthma, COPD, or emphysema, lung cancer. They're always checking your lung function. Breathe in. Breathe out. And they want to see how much can you force in and out of your lungs. What's the capacity? How much air can you hold? How much can you exhale and take? I'm only showing you the definitions of these acronyms related to lung health capacity. I'm not going to review them again, but you're going to see FVC in the future research studies I'm about to show you. Forced expiratory flow at 1 second only. It's called FEV1. And then forced expiratory flow, FEF, is just blowing out for as long as you can. How much air can you expel? Let's dive into vitamin A first. Vitamin A is a fat-soluble vitamin with three active forms called retinol, retinol, and retinoic acid. For all of you watching, if you haven't figured it out yet, I'm only going to be highlighting the red underlined sentences. We made sure that was highlighted for you so you could follow along faster. Some authors have reported an association between low levels of vitamin A and chronic airway obstruction in adults, even if patients with asthma were not included in these studies. Aurora, a researcher and his team, observed that vitamin A deficiency was four times more common in children with asthma compared to those who didn't have asthma. Every child should be on vitamin A. I'm not even going to highlight it in this presentation, but vitamin A at the most perfect dose for your children is in our Doc's Healthy Children multivitamin. Children with asthma have frequent exacerbations of asthmatic symptoms in association with airway inflammation, infection, exertion, or stress. These factors have been shown to decrease blood levels of vitamin A by increasing cellular demand for vitamin A and increasing its urinary elimination. Beta-carotene, by quenching singlet oxygen and antioxidant effect, may reduce airway inflammation and asthma as well. Vitamin C. Vitamin C can act as a hydrogen donor to reverse oxidation and therefore functions as an antioxidant that reacts with free radicals and deactivates them before they cause damage to proteins or fats. Oxygen metabolites may play direct and indirect roles in the modulation of airway inflammation. Asthma is inflammation of the lungs. COPD, inflammation of the lungs. Emphysema, inflammation of your lungs. So to reduce the inflammation, vitamin C does that. Disease process studies, called epidemiological studies, studying how disease processes progress. These studies indicate that elevated dietary intake, taking vitamin C every day orally as a supplement, may be associated with a reduced risk of asthma. Vitamin C levels are diminished in people with mild asthma, and a study of 7,500 youths aged 4 to 16 years old in the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey showed an association between antioxidants like vitamin C and the prevalence of asthma was real. The lower the vitamin C, the more asthma. The more vitamin C, the less asthma. Hey, how about that? A study of 4,000 healthy Norwegians aged 20 to 44 reported that dietary vitamin C intake reduced coughing and wheezing in smokers having high oxidative stress. Ask your doctor if vitamin A and vitamin C are right for your child or you, if you're an adult and you have asthma. If you know anybody with an inhaler, they should be on vitamin A and vitamin C. I just showed you why. And I'm not done. Now it's time to get into a resin of a tree that I love so much. It's called Google resin. And this is from Frontiers in Pharmacology. Pharmacology is the study of drugs. Googling the Google, Camphora muckle, Camphora witty, and Boswellia trees, plants for prevention of chronic diseases. In this article, Camphora muckle, Camphora witty, these are the sources of Google resin, G-U-G-G-U-L resin, which is a new product we're offering here at the Dr. Artie Show. Just recently launched that. All right, let's dive into asthma, because this is lung health. And this is Google. Asthma is a chronic, multifactorial inflammatory disease of the respiratory tract and is one of the major health concerns, notably Boswellia, not Google. Boswellia, remember, they're looking at these two plants here, has been found to be effective in the treatment of this disease. In a clinical study, 40 patients, having 23 males, 17 females in the age of 18 to 75 years old, suffering from bronchial asthma, were treated with 300 milligrams of gum resin from Boswellia and the Google tree three times a day for a period of 6 weeks. And this led to improved prognosis in around 70% of the patients, as various signs and symptoms of bronchial asthma like bronchi, dyspnea, and attacks, asthma attacks, disappeared upon treatment. And this has been known since 1998, almost 30 years ago. If you have been prescribed asthma inhalers, you should be on vitamin A, vitamin C, and you should be on our Google resin extract. This is now going into another research medical journal called Journal of Ethnopharmacology. This is from the year 2021. Oh, no, it's 2023. This is the protective effect of the resin, the gum of the Camphora witty tree. This is the Google resin tree. Against elastase-induced This is a chemical-induced chronic obstructive pulmonary disease-linked lung inflammation and emphysema. So poisons causing emphysema and COPD, they are going to see, what does Google resin do to this? By the way, Google resin is the first ingredient in our CardioFlow product. It's also the second ingredient in our acne product. And now we have, which is called the Clear Skin Complex supplement. And then it's also a standalone product at the Dr. Artist Show. Present work was undertaken to investigate the protective effects of Google from this tree called Camphora witty using bioassay guided fractionation. You don't need to know what that means. Against elastase induced, chemical induced, drug induced, poison induced pulmonary inflammation, asthma, emphysema, characterized feature of COPD. In the current study, well-established elastase-induced model was used to identify related mechanisms in the development of COPD, lung inflammation, and emphysema. The anti-inflammatory effect of standardized methanol-extracted Google resin extract in our model was evaluated at three different doses. Our COPD model patients, we gave 100 milligrams per 2 pounds of body weight, 200 milligrams for every 2.2 pounds, 400 milligrams for every 2.2 pounds. And the most effective dose in exerting anti-inflammatory effects was found to be the highest one at 400 milligrams for every 2 pounds of body weight. The more Google we gave them, the better the results were in lung inflammation in the COPD patient. Next, to evaluate the severity of lung edema, water in the lungs, a substance, which I will not define here, BALF protein content was measured, and elastase instillation increased this protein content, which leads to edema in the lungs, whereas Google resin, this gum-like substance from this tree, dose-dependently, the more we gave them, it reduced the edema in the lungs. So if you have pneumonia, if you have fluid in your lungs, you have edema in your lung, you got COPD, Google resin, you should be on. Thus, the researchers say, methanol extracted Google resin from the Camphora witty tree extract was found to be potent in mitigating or resolving drug-induced pulmonary inflammation. You're welcome. Google Sterone treatment. Google Sterone is the Google component in our Google resin extract supplement. Google Sterone treatment attenuated or stopped drug-induced mRNA expression of these inflammatory markers in the lungs of people who have lung diseases. Tumor necrotic factor alpha, interleukin 1, interleukin 6, MIP2, GCSF. That, now I want to read here. Interestingly, in earlier reports have shown, read the sentence down at the bottom, that Google Sterone significantly suppressed the production of inflammatory mediators by blocking NF-kappa beta signaling in various inflammatory diseases. If you live with inflammation of any kind, Google resin is right for you. Our results that Google Sterone downregulates the expression of drug-induced pro-inflammatory reactions, we speculate that Google Sterones from this tree might be exerting its anti-inflammatory action through suppressing an inflammatory marker called NF-beta-kappa. We analyzed the effect of Google Sterone on drug-induced oxidative stress. Our data on oxidative stress markers, reactive oxidation species, MDA, and protein carbonyls, along with counterplayers, distinctly indicate that the competence, the ability of Google Sterone to restore normal balance towards normal lung tissue. So as anything's increasing stress on the lungs and inflammation, Google Sterones helps to counter all of it and restores your lungs back to normal. Reactive nitrogen species are important in disease processes of COPD as they have potent inflammation reactions. Along with reactive oxidative species, these contribute to oxidative stress, and Google Sterones, the authors of these papers say, decreased the drug-induced increase in nitrate levels. So excess nitrogen in the body can be reduced by Google Sterone alone. Google Sterone has been reported to possess potent antioxidant potential via its free radical scavenging effects. Free radicals are eliminated by Google steroids. Ask your doctor if Google's right for you. Pulmonary emphysema is a main component of COPD and is characterized by destruction and enlargement of the little sacs in your lungs called alveolar regions, little bitty balls that absorb oxygen. Through chronic inflammation, oxidative stress, and protease, anti-protease imbalance. This is talking about emphysema. What emphysema is? We observed remarkable airspace enlargement after 21 days of drug-infused inflammation of the lungs, and daily Google steroid treatment effectively provides protection against airspace enlargement. Anybody with emphysema, anybody with COPD, you should be on Google Resin. It's in our cardio flow product, and it's a standalone product at the Dr. Artis Show. Earlier studies reported that Google steroid isomers, different forms of Google steroids, usually called E and Z forms, downregulate inflammatory expression in the cells of human gallbladder cancer cell lines and breast cancer cells, respectively. Did you know Google steroids found in our products has been proven in lab studies to downregulate the production of bladder cancer cells, gallbladder cancer cells, and breast cancer cells? Consistent with these findings, Google steroid administration mitigates, resolves the expression of the inflammatory markers, increases the expression of TIMP1. Furthermore, Google steroid treatment markedly diminished the drug-induced proteolytic activity of these inflammatory markers. Altogether, our data evidence that Google steroid treatment can partly protect against the development of drug-induced emphysema and COPD by inhibiting the expression and activity of these inflammatory markers. Google steroids' anti-inflammatory activity is well proven in real-life studies utilizing animal models of arthritis, colitis, gastritis, irritable bowel disease, pancreatitis, and uveitis. It's a lot of stuff. All of those conditions have one thing in common: inflammation. Google steroids reduces inflammation. A number of clinical trials investigating the effects of Google steroid provides substantial evidence of its enormous antioxidant and anti-inflammatory potential. Google steroids exhibit anti-inflammatory and antioxidative activity and could protect lungs from drug-induced damage in the mouse model of COPD. In conclusion, collectively, our data demonstrates for the first time that Google resin from the Comaphora witty tree extract and its ethyl acetate fraction possesses beneficial effects against drug-induced and chemical-induced inflammation. Further, Google steroid, a plant sterol isolated from these trees, significantly ameliorates elastase-associated inflammation, oxidative stress, and emphysema in our mouse model of COPD. Hence, Google steroid might be a potential drug candidate for the prevention treatment of COPD in humans. All of you with COPD, ask your medical doctor or health professional if Google steroid is right for you. Because it is. Vitamin D effects on lung immunity and respiratory diseases. Let's dive into vitamin D. We've already talked about vitamin A, vitamin C. I told you there's going to be four vitamins we're going to cover. Vitamin D effects on lung immunity and respiratory diseases. The first study was a translational study published in 2006, and it showed that adequate vitamin D levels are required for TLR2, toll-like receptor 2 activation by a myobacterial ligand, something that combines or sticks things together like a glue, and subsequent 1-alpha hydroxylase and VDR-dependent expression of something called cathelicidin. I didn't even know what that word was. So I'm just going to highlight two statements here. Adequate vitamin D levels are required for expression of cathelicidin. Well, I didn't know what cathelicidin was. How does this have anything to do with lung diseases? I'm going to show you. So what is cathelicidins? I had to look it up. Here it is. According to PubMed.gov, cathelicidins are host defense peptides, or little proteins, that have antimicrobial and immune supportive functions. Besides being antimicrobial, cathelicidins have a wide variety of immunomodulatory functions. both boosting and inhibiting inflammation, directing chemotaxis and affecting cell differentiation, cancer development, primarily towards type 1 immune responses. Vitamin D, from what I just showed you a second ago here, adequate vitamin D levels are required for expression of cathelicidin. You're learning that these help improve your immune system, particularly towards, look at the last part of the, look at the last highlighted line in red, primarily towards type 1 immune responses. For all of you watching, I wanted you to know, well, what is a type 1 immune response? Well, this is it. This is the immune responses. They're characterized into type 1 and type 2. What is type 1? This is type 1. Killing microbes is the first response of the immune system. It increases the amount of neutrophils and macrophages that go and eat up all the bugs and bad things in your body, including cancer cells. Antibody classes evolve into phagocytosis, being able to eat and devour and digest the bad stuff in your body. It actually starts the complement activity, helping to remove the toxins out of your body, infections out of your body, and it activates macrophages to go attack and protect. That's what vitamin D does. So let's go back to the statement about vitamin D. Remember, I just said adequate vitamin D levels are required, I highlighted, for the expression of cathelicidin. That's this statement. This study also revealed that vitamin D increased the killing of mycobacteria by microphages in the presence of vitamin D. In a subsequent study of peripheral, away from the thorax in your arms and legs, peripheral blood monocytes, white blood cells infected with recombinant mycobacteria, vitamin D strongly induced cathelicidin mRNA and reduced the growth of mycobacteria in a dose-dependent fashion. Dose-dependent, again, just as a reminder, means the more vitamin D you took, the higher the ability of the immune cells through cathelicidin to help remove the mycobacteria or the deadly toxic disease-causing bacteria from the body goes. The more vitamin D, the better. Another study showed a direct correlation between blood levels of vitamin D and monocyte expression of cathelicidin, this immune-boosting peptide protein. The prevalence of asthma, the lung health condition we're talking about today, one of them, has been steadily increasing over the last several decades. And over the same period of time, vitamin D insufficiency has been on the rise. As the world sees more and more asthma sufferers being diagnosed and prescribed bronchospasm inhalers and prednisone, as we see more people being diagnosed and living with asthma, at the same time, you're seeing in the same time period, vitamin D level insufficiency. Low levels of vitamin D in everybody around the world is on the rise. The prevalence of both conditions has been linked to African American race, obesity, and immigration to westernized countries. We are in a westernized country. Disease studies have found that vitamin D low levels is common in asthmatics and is associated with increased asthma severity and hospitalizations. For the love of God, if you have a child with asthma, you want to reduce the frequency and worries of going to the hospital or having asthma attacks more often, give them freaking vitamin D already. We couldn't have made it easier. I have a vitamin D3 K2 supplement right here. It has no taste. Drop it in their smoothie, their applesauce, whatever you want to give your kids. Please give it to them every single day. One dropperful, two dropperfuls. I don't care. Give it to them. Ask your pulmonologist if vitamin D is right for you with COPD, asthma, emphysema, because it is. If such an association exists, it may be mediated through increased risk of respiratory viral infection in vitamin D deficient individuals, or by the effects of vitamin D on adaptive immunity, in particular T-cell regulatory, the ability to regulate T-cell function. Your thymus gland is what T stands for. Vitamin D deficiency is common in asthmatic patients, and vitamin D supplementation may result in improvement in asthma severity and treatment response to corticosteroids. If you're on an inhaler, your child's on an inhaler, will you please give them vitamin D? Would you please consider giving them vitamin A and vitamin C? Maybe even the Google Sterones and the CardioFlow or Google Resin Extract. It has become clear that vitamin D is not only important for bone and muscle health, but has a wide spectrum of biological actions, including significant immune-boosting effects. Disease studies suggest an association between low levels of vitamin D and bacterial infections, respiratory viral infections, and asthma. The enzyme 1 alpha hydroxylase is expressed by airway skin cells, macrophages, which are immune cells, dendritic cells, which are more advanced immune cells, and lymphocytes, which are white blood cells, in the respiratory tract, indicating that active vitamin D may be produced locally within the lungs. Mechanistic studies have found that vitamin D influences cellular mechanisms that are important for recognition and killing of pathogens, inflammation, and the control of the adaptive immune functions within the lungs. Vitamin D is important for adequate lung health and immune protection. So that's the third vitamin. We talked about vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin D. Now we're going to vitamin K2. Now, vitamin D and K2 are in our new all-organic suspended vitamin D3 K2 supplement. No taste. This stuff is great. Just put it in your mouth. Every day you should be doing this. Every day. You and your kids should be doing this. Vitamin K2 attenuates or stops LPS-induced acute lung injury via inhibiting inflammation. This is what vitamin K2 does. It inhibits inflammation, stops apoptosis, cell death, and ferroptosis, iron-induced death. Under LPS induction, the levels of pro-inflammatory cytokines, inflammatory markers, including interferons, tumor necrotic factors, interleukins, and chemokines, were significantly higher than the control group. And the infiltration of inflammatory cells in the lung tissue was upregulated as well. And they're looking at vitamin K2 deficiency. However, the vitamin K2 pretreatment group significantly improved these phenomena and gradually returned to normal levels. What? Ask your pulmonologist if vitamin K2 is right for you, because it is. Vitamin K2 has been investigated as a potential anti-inflammatory and protective drug in several inflammatory diseases, including type 2 diabetes. What? How many people have diabetes type 2? Ask your endocrinologist if vitamin K2 is right for you, because it is. What about inflammatory bowel disease? It says it right there. I underlined it. Oh, wait. How many of you have Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, irritable bowels? How many of you have a gluten sensitivity? How many of you have bowel problems? Ask your gastroenterologist if vitamin K2 is right for you, because it has proven to be. Atherosclerosis. Oh, any of you seeing a cardiologist? Ask your doctor if vitamin K2 is right for you. It is. Oh, what about a rheumatologist for rheumatoid arthritis? Ask them if vitamin K2 is right for you, because it is proven to be in medical journals. Oh, and neurodegenerative diseases. Wow, did you know vitamin K2 was right for that too? We're talking dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, MS. Ask your neurologist if vitamin K2 is right for you, because they don't know. And it even says, especially Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. So that wraps up the four vitamins. Now it's time to get into a heavy metal chelator that I guarantee you even I got to learn something new in this presentation. The efficacy of calcium EDTA, which we have here at the Dr. Artist Show. We got our very own EDTA. The efficacy of calcium EDTA as an inhibitor for metallolactamase in a mouse model of Pseudomonas pneumonia. EDTA is used intravenously in this scenario, and the dose is 1,000 or 1,500 milligrams per day for 5 days. It can be administered continuously or in 2 to 4 divided doses. In this study, we evaluated the efficacy of EDTA as an inhibitor of bacterial metalloenzymes, such as MBL and other forms of proteases in a mouse model of pneumonia. What were the effects of EDTA on the survival of mice with pneumonia? Remember this, everybody, listen to me, especially Medicare age people, senior citizens. Do you know that when, you know, fractures, hip fractures are a big deal. So with a hip fracture, you often have to go to the hospital. You have to have surgery done. Do you know what the complication from a hip fracture, what the number one cause of death in hip fracture elderly people is? It isn't the surgery. It's not blood clots from the surgery. It's getting pneumonia while in the hospital or in the surgical center is the number one cause of death post hip surgeries. So yeah, this is for you. EDTA. The control mice started to die at 24 hours, and all mice died by 72 to 84 hours after the intranasal inoculation of the pneumonia bug. So they introduced the pneumonia bug into these mice. All of them died. They started to die first 24 hours, but all of them were dead by 72 to 84 hours. So 3 to 4 days. all mice died when introduced to the pneumonia bug. The effects of combining calcium EDTA with IPM were striking. I love that. I've never seen the word striking in a medical research study ever, so I had to highlight this. The effects of combining calcium EDTA with IPM were striking. Notice above, 100% of all the mice died when they gave them this bug. When they gave those same bugs to the next mice, the treatment mice, and gave them EDTA, look at how many of them survived. 100% survival was achieved for this group. 100%! I don't know about you, but if you had pneumonia and you felt like you were going to die because you couldn't breathe, wouldn't you want to ask somebody if EDTA was right for you? The next statement is very important. Regardless of the route of administration of calcium EDTA, it didn't matter how we gave it to them, if we put it on their skin, if they drank it, if they injected it, if they inhaled it, it didn't matter. We had a 100% survival rate. This is a oral EDTA version, calcium EDTA. Ask your doctor if EDTA is right for you. Consistent with the survival data, the bacterial burden was significantly reduced with the combination of IPM and calcium EDTA. You're welcome. IPM treatment, this drug alone, did not induce a significant reduction in bacteria numbers in the lungs, so the drug prescribed didn't really do anything. The EDTA in combination did. In contrast, the simultaneous administration of calcium EDTA or both, if they just did EDTA, it worked to remove all the bacteria and clear it out. If they just used the drug, it didn't do that. If they just used EDTA, it did that. If they did both EDTA and the drug, it still worked. At both 50 and 100 milligrams for every 2.2 kilograms of body weight, significantly enhanced the clearance of organisms from the lungs. Do you have an infection in your lungs? Do you have mucus in your lungs? Do you have a chronic productive cough? If you do, EDTA is right for you, regardless of what FDA-approved drug they're giving you. Isn't that exciting? I found that amazing. Importantly, we observed almost the same survival rate benefits of calcium EDTA with both intranasal, inhaling it up their nose, and subcutaneous administrations, injecting it. Finally, our results indicate that EDTA also suppressed the protease activity of the bacteria causing pneumonia in a culture medium. And these effects may be associated with the protection of alveolar, the little sacs in your lungs that draw in air, in vitro, and improvement of the survival in the culture supernatant-induced injury model. Together, the present data suggests an application of EDTA for certain types of infectious diseases. Ask your pulmonologist or respiratory therapist if you have bacterial pneumonia, if EDTA is right for you, because it is. In a pneumonia model with pneumonia caused by IMP1 producing strain of pneumonia and calcium EDTA co-therapy resulted in a drastic improvement of the survival rate and reduction of lung bacterial burdens. You're welcome. Additionally, both intranasal and subcutaneous injecting it, both EDTA, produced similar effects, which suggested a good penetration of this compound into the lungs, through even the skin or the blood. These data consistently demonstrate the possibility of EDTA for clinical applications. Ask your doctor if EDTA is right for you. It's not just for COVID-related stuff, COVID vaccine-related stuff. If you don't know what I mean by that, go read my book. All right, that's the heavy metal chelator EDTA. I told you we were going to present that for lung health problems. Now we're going to get into magnesium, one of my favorite minerals in the whole world. And yeah, we have magnesium complex here. I'm holding it here. All right. Let's talk about magnesium. The only reason why I even do these and make sure you see this is because many of you may not even know why I thought it was so important of all the supplements in the world, why I only have like 30. Why I specifically love these. Well, after 30 years of being an alternative health practitioner, I have fallen in love with some very specific minerals, vitamins, amino acids, nutrients, herbs, homeopathic products, extracts that you need to know about. They're not all created equal. Effects of magnesium supplementation in COPD. This is clinicaltrials.gov. This is an NIH-sponsored website. Magnesium is involved in several pathways that could be affected in COPD, namely in the contraction and excitability of neuromuscular, nerve muscular cells in the lungs, and low-grade inflammation, a typical state of COPD. Randomized clinical trials confirmed a positive role of magnesium in asthma, since long-period oral supplementation Taking magnesium in your mouth for a long, long time leads to a clinical and spirometric improvement. Spirometric is the measurement of how much air you can draw in and exhale out. You physically measure that. People that take magnesium for long periods of time, and I recommend it every day for life, they see improvements in their clinical outcomes. Clinical being, you're not having asthma attacks, COPD, breathing problems. You're able to breathe without going to the hospital, calling your doctor for an appointment. And your when we do your lung measurement test, your ability to draw in air and expel air is greater with those taking oral supplemented magnesium. I'm quoting the researchers. Subjects with COPD seem to have reduced bioavailability of magnesium, probably due to the use of drugs. Prescription drugs lower your ability to absorb magnesium. Steroids do it too. Subjects with COPD who are being prescribed drugs may have a reduced ability to absorb magnesium due to the use of those drugs. That may increase magnesium losses. And you'll see cortisones, which is prednisone. These are steroids. Beta agonists to a reduced dietary magnesium intake also. Some people might not eating stuff that has magnesium in it. And heavy smoking, they say, can cause loss of magnesium. A recent study showed that the administration of endovenous injecting or aerosol inhaling magnesium sulfate with beta agonist acutely improves maximum expiratory flow, exhaling air during COPD relapses, as well as the prolonged treatment with endovenous injecting sulfate magnesium led to a reduction in pulmonary hyperinflation and increase in muscles involved in respiration, your diaphragm included, with a consequent clinical and instrumental improvement. You do not have to inject magnesium or inhale it. You're designed to absorb it through your bowels. Just supplement and find the foods, eat the foods rich in it. In fact, we're going to show you here The Lancet, the most reputable medical journal supposedly in England. The Lancet. It even says dietary magnesium and lung function. Dietary magnesium means you're eating the magnesium, not inhaling it, not injecting it. You're eating it. It's in your vegetables. It's in your meats. Dietary magnesium, lung function, wheezing and airway hyperactivity in a random adult population sample. Let's see what they found related to magnesium. Magnesium is involved in a wide range of biological activities, including some that may protect against the development of asthma. Did your pulmonologist ever tell you your child should be on magnesium when he prescribed an inhaler? Ask your doctor if magnesium is right for you or your child on asthma with an inhaler or anybody with an inhaler. Ask if it's right for you because it is. Do you want to know how I know? Medical research has already proven it. The uneducated medical doctors don't read. They don't study this research. I just am fascinated by finding all these amazing truths about natural antidotes, proven abilities in these complex, mysterious, what appears to be genetic disorders. No, every disease has a mineral and vitamin deficiency component. So magnesium is involved in the development of asthma and chronic airflow obstruction, the lack of magnesium. We tested the hypothesis that maybe high dietary magnesium intake is associated with better lung function. And we wanted to see if it reduced the risk of airway hyperactivity, which is asthma attacks, and wheezing in a random sample of adults. The average daily intake of magnesium for this population of adults that was surveyed was about 380 milligrams a day. I recommend a bare minimum 500 milligrams every single day of magnesium for the rest of your life. Always, always have. I've always said that. This is even less than that. Now read along. Higher magnesium intake was associated with a 27% higher volume of drawing in air and exhaling out air and a reduction in the relative odds of hyperactivity, asthma attacks, and wheezing. The same incremental difference in magnesium intake was also associated with a reduction in the odds of self-reported wheezing within the past 12 months. If they just took magnesium every day, there was a much less reported wheezing episode ever even happened to these people. Dietary magnesium intake is independently related to lung function and the occurrence of airway hyperreactivity and self-reported wheezing in the general population. Low magnesium intake may therefore be involved in the development, etiology means development of asthma, and chronic obstructive airway diseases like COPD and emphysema. Ask your pulmonologist if you have a lung problem, if magnesium is right for you, because it is. Science says so. Let's see. You remember, Family Feud? Survey says, no, I think I want to start quoting this. Science says, it's not survey says, science says magnesium is right for lung health problems. Vitamin D, vitamin K, vitamin A, vitamin C are right for health diseases. All of them. Google resin is right for health diseases, including the lung diseases. And now we're going to get into a nutrient called N-acetylcysteine, one of my favorite. I'm not holding that here, but N-acetylcysteine is amazing. I've talked ad nauseum about NAC's ability to dissolve blood clots and prevent blood clotting. 2,000 milligrams is what I recommend all the time, even during COVID, during vaccinations of COVID, with all the blood clotting disorders. NAC, there's a reason why the FDA tried to ban that in May of 2020, right before the COVID-19 vaccines came out, called the clot shots. They wanted to make sure supplement companies stopped selling that over the counter and only make it a prescription only. That was the threat. It didn't hold, but the FDA did announce that. NAC is amazing, N-acetylcysteine. All right, the efficacy of NAC is a precursor of glutathione. Glutathione is the most potent anti-inflammatory molecule your liver and every cell of your body makes to reverse diseases and illnesses and inflammation. The efficacy of NAC as a precursor of glutathione synthesis has been studied in isolated mouse lungs. Remember, mice have every gene a human does. That's why they study all drugs in mice before they give them to humans in trials. If it happens to a mouse, it'll happen to a human. So they study all this in mice before they do it to humans. That's published. I'm not making that up. It's not conspiratorial or controversial. Mice have the exact same genes as humans do, which is why we always study drugs in mice first before we give them to humans. NAC reduced hydrogen peroxide induced damage to the cells in the lungs. So let's just say during COVID, you inhaled hydrogen peroxide into your lungs and nebulized it, and you got lung damage. Did you know NAC reversed it? And reduces that damage. And NAC reduced NF-kappa beta activation in some cells, which is an inflammatory disease marker. In addition, NAC treatment reduced cigarette smoke-induced abnormalities in polymorphonuclear leukocytes, alveolar macrophages, the air sacs in your lungs, macrophages, fibroblasts, and epithelial cells, the cells on the surface of your lungs. Did you know that NAC was proven to reduce the damage of cigarette smoking? Do you have a loved one who likes to smoke? Tobacco? Commercial cigarettes. You might want to put in their Christmas stocking NAC from the Dr. Artist Show. Nature Wins. Treatment with NAC also attenuated rat secretory cell hyperplasia induced by tobacco smoke. You're welcome. In a rat model of cigarette smoke-induced alterations in small airways, NAC prevented the thickening of the airway wall and improved distribution of ventilation. To be able to exhale, inhale, inhale, exhale, COPD, emphysema, you name it, cystic fibrosis, pulmonary fibrosis, I mean. NAC helps improve your ability to breathe, draw in oxygen, and release it. Treatment with N-acetylcysteine in humans. I already gave you the rat and mice models. Treatment with NAC in humans alters the pulmonary oxidation and antioxidant imbalance. So disease comes when there's more oxidative stress than there is antioxidants like vitamin C to reduce it, the inflammation. Treatment with NAC in humans helps balance the inflammatory and anti-inflammatory markers in the body. NAC at 600 milligrams per day, given orally, increased lung glutathione levels. It reduced oxygen production by alveolar macrophages, and it decreased bronchoalveolar lavage, polymorphonuclear leukocyte chemiluminescence. It's a lot of big fancy words, meaning NAC in humans at 600 milligrams per day given orally reversed almost every inflammatory marker that happens in the lungs. Do you know anybody that suffers with lung inflammation diseases? Ask your pulmonologist if NAC is right for you, because it is. N-acetylcysteine at 600 milligrams per day in COPD patients also reduced sputum eosinophilic cation proteins. You might want to share this with your pulmonologist who knows what all this means, and they're measuring this stuff when you go into their offices. which is called ECP concentrations, and the adhesion of PMNs. If you want to know what that is, ask your pulmonologist if NAC is right for you to reduce that stuff. And in lab studies, NAC lowered the adhesion of influenza virus and pneumonia bacteria to oropharyngeal epithelial cells. So if you're inhaling pneumonia, inhaling influenza, you don't have to worry about it. NAC helps block these things from attaching the infections to the cells in your lungs so they can't get infected. So maybe instead of a flu shot, maybe you should have NAC at 600 milligrams a day. But pay attention, 600 milligrams is not very much. It may be questioned if NAC at 600 milligrams once a day is the right dose for an optimal effect in patients with COPD. That was the question I just offered you. The above-mentioned studies on exhaling biomarkers indicate that NAC in a dose of 1,200 milligrams per day is superior in reducing oxidative stress. So in those studies, they highlight the benefit of 600 milligrams a day, but they actually found 1,200 milligrams was even better. Well, why didn't they publish that in those studies? Why did they just leave that in the body of the paragraphs of the research studies? Why didn't they put that in the conclusions? I've always recommended 2,000 milligrams of NAC a day, at least. And this would fit that also. This is 1,200 milligrams. A recent study compared 1,200 milligrams daily and 600 milligrams daily and placebo on markers of systemic overall body inflammation and symptoms in patients with COPD. NAC at 1,200 milligrams daily significantly reduced the inflammatory marker in your blood called C-reactive protein and interleukin 8 levels compared with the NAC at 600 milligrams daily. So the twice as high of dose was way better than the 600 milligrams and better than the placebo. Both doses were well tolerated. But wait, they're not done. They're about to throw out another number. You want to see what the higher number is? Another indication that NAC in a higher dose might be even more effective is provided by the recent data on the IFIGENIA study in patients with idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. Now let's get to one of the worst conditions on earth that everyone is told they need to have a lung transplant for, pulmonary fibrosis. Idiopathic means we don't know where it came from. Well, I can tell you right now, there's very specific antidepressants that have pulmonary fibrosis as a published side effect. But they will tell you, we don't know what causes it, and it might be genetic. No, chemicals do this. Agent Orange in Vietnam does this. So there are things that do this, just so you know. It's not just idiopathic. We don't know. It just happened. No, it doesn't just happen. There are reasons. This example of a possible higher amount of NAC for people in conditions so bad as pulmonary fibrosis where your lungs are turning into cartilage. This was a phase 3 double-blind randomized placebo-controlled study. For all of you out there wondering, how good was this study? It's everything you want. That assessed the effectiveness over 1 year of a high-dose NAC supplement, 1,800 milligrams a day. I keep saying 2,000. These people are close at 1,800. On top of the recommended standard therapy of prednisone and azithioprine, azathioprine, these two drugs for idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. In 155 of these people. Let's read together what happened when they gave them NAC at 1,800 milligrams. This study showed that NAC on top of the drugs they already prescribed to you for pulmonary fibrosis had a significant and clinically relevant effect on ventricular capacity and diffusion capacity at 6 and 12 months of supplementing NAC. Had a significant clinical relevant impact in pulmonary fibrosis. Ask your pulmonologist, your lung specialist, if NAC is right for you with any lung condition, including one as horrible as pulmonary fibrosis. And while your loved ones who are on a pulmonary fibrosis lung transplant list, which I know can last like 3 years worth of waiting, you might want to try NAC. 2,000 milligrams or 1,800, as this research study tells you. Do it every single day. And you might just make it to that date. Or you might just improve overall and might not even need it. NAC was well tolerated and no differences in side effects were observed between the two groups. It didn't matter. They all did great. In lab studies, an in-body data showed that NAC protects the lungs against toxic agents by increasing pulmonary defense mechanisms through its direct antioxidant properties and its indirect role as a precursor for glutathione synthesis. In patients with COPD, treatment with NAC in a dose of 600 milligrams once daily reduced the risk of exacerbations, and it improved symptoms compared with placebo. So now you've seen 600 milligrams for, and 1,200 milligrams for COPD. You've seen 1,800 milligrams for pulmonary fibrosis. What's the right dose? I say 2,000 milligrams. And you saw in the COPD, they said they even discovered in the research study by those guys, the twice as high as 600 milligrams at 1,200 milligrams even was far superior to reducing exacerbations of COPD symptoms. The Bronchus trial showed that this is especially the case in those COPD patients not using inhaled corticosteroids. So if you have COPD and you're not taking an inhaler, you have better results with NAC alone. The partial activity of NAC in the Bronchus trial might be explained by the relatively low dose administered, 600 milligrams once daily. Remember, they did two of these. Data on exhaled biomarkers and markers of systemic inflammation, as well as the recent Iphigenia, that's an acronym study, indicate the higher doses such as 600 milligrams twice a day, that 1,200 milligram figure, should be administered in patients with COPD. This is our Breathe Free product. Now, I want to highlight in here, it's called Breathe Free for a reason. This is all about natural solutions for lung health. I introduced this product during COVID. Why? They called that a lung disease, a respiratory disease. Look at the first two ingredients I made sure were in it. Vitamins A and C at specific therapeutic doses. This is our CardioFlow, and I show you the Google Resin in there. I only show you this one because at the time of this recording, Google Resin is out of stock, but it will be in stock by the time most of you are watching this. This is November of 2025. Google Resin Extract is its own supplement, standalone also, but it's also in our cardio flow, and it would not hurt you to take this. All these have herbs and amino acids that support lung function and heart function. Vitamin D3K2, that's this product here. You'll see it's got vitamin D and vitamin K in their doses, and it's suspended in organic MCT oil. This is our calcium EDTA supplement. You can see on there how to use it. If you want to know how I'd recommend it, you're going to see serving sizes 1 ml per day. It's just one dropper full. You put it on your tongue, there's no taste. Or you can drop it anything you want. Smoothie, applesauce, I don't care, and eat it. If you have to dilute it in something, that's fine too. Or juice. I actually recommend EDTA if you're going to do this therapeutically. You do it 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday morning. That's what I say, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And just do 2 dropper fulls first thing in the morning when you wake up. This is magnesium. Is our magnesium complex supplement, and we showed you magnesium's benefit to lung health. And this is our N-acetylcysteine product. You'll see each capsule has 750 milligrams. So if you do two of those, that gets you to the 1,500 milligram mark, which is just above the COPD recommendations. In order to get to the 1,800 milligrams per the pulmonary fibrosis doses, you would have to do 3 capsules of these. And it's in a dose-dependent manner. The more you take, the better the effects are. This is the Dr. Artist Show. This is the QR code. Scan it if you want to be notified. If you found this beneficial, please share, like this podcast. If you want to be an ACE member, want to ask me personal questions at the Dr. Artist Show, you can actually sign up to be an ACE member. It's called the Artist Club Experience. Once a month, I actually answer all of your personal questions for those members. This is our book, Moving Beyond the COVID-19 Lies. If you'd like to learn more about the beneficial effects of N-acetylcysteine against long COVID and acute COVID symptoms, and how EDTA and why EDTA was ever offered by Nature Wins. Why does I had to have that supplement? Because it is published to help to neutralize some of the poisons and toxins found in the COVID-19 vaccines, per the research studies of those who created them, those shots. All right, let's take all this off the screen so you just see me. This is the natural solutions to lung health and lung diseases. We focus mostly on asthma, COPD, emphysema, lung cancer, and pulmonary fibrosis. I hope this blesses your life. If you found this informative, educational, and inspiring, and you think this is important for somebody else, please forward the link to this specific video to anybody you love who has health conditions they're concerned about or want to try to improve them. I give you the science. I even show you their doses. It's amazing. I can't make it any simpler. You should also give them the warnings to all the problems associated with the most common drugs prescribed for those conditions. Because they may not know that their worsening scenarios are actually being caused by the drugs they're being prescribed. And I think it's important you know. So I'm going to tell you because your medical doctor most likely is not going to verbally tell you. And most of you don't read, unfortunately, package inserts that come with your drugs. You want to know why? Because you trust the FDA approval process and the guy in the white coat or the girl in the white coat. You just trust they're being thorough, have reviewed the science of everything related to the drug they're prescribing you, and they have not. I'm really sorry, they haven't. If you found this beneficial, share the link to this video. If you personally want to review this information more in depth, I encourage you to go to the resources tab of our drartistshow.com, thedrartistshow.com. Go to the resources tab. You will find this PowerPoint, Natural Solutions to Lung Diseases. You'll find that PowerPoint downloaded in the resources tab. You just click it, download it to your computer, or then you can email it to other people if you want to. You can review it at any point ad nauseum, but it's incredible. The information we put together, the time we take to put this information together for you. We don't want you struggling to breathe. We don't want you threatened by asthma in your own child. I don't want you sending your kids to school or to activities or sports or athletics with an inhaler, never knowing what's going to happen and having to live in fear and anxiety and panic. There are ways to improve the overall body's health and your own lungs' function capacity. And there's many things in nature that do that. Here's a list for you. I am Dr. Artis. We will see you next time on the Dr. Artis Show. God bless.